Our Father and our God, it is your word. We want to be in your will.
Yes, my God.
Now speak, O God, for your people need to hear a word from you.
Yes.
Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
In the book of Hebrews, I'm going to ask, if you don't have a Bible, to raise your hand. I'm going to ask the handouts to be passed that now. I didn't want to be passed out too soon. I didn't want people to get to look at it. I've done something that I have not done before. And so I'm going to do something for you all that I think is very critical and important. If you looked at most of the handouts that I have given you, there are places for you to fill out materials, things that I've condensed, things that I've worked on. Today, what I've done is I've given you simply my sermonic notes. So what you have are my notes. Now, that's critical because that's important to me. But what each one of you all have, you can pass them out, or you're going to have, those are simply the notes of this message. So you can take this anywhere. You may preach it somewhere else, and they say, man, that's some heavy stuff. I'm giving you my sermonic notes. That's what I normally follow when I'm preaching, but I'm going to teach it today, and we'll do a little preaching and teach it together. Somebody ought to say amen. But my notes, and I sort of put it in my notes, it's a conversation with God, but these are my notes. And I want you to read on how I would do it. This is how I would do it if I wasn't giving it to you all. If I was just simply standing in the pulpit, this is how I would do it. So you guys are getting my notes, all right? So there's really nothing for you to write in, but you'll follow with me. When you get it, when everyone gets their notes and they get a Bible, say amen. We're going to be in God's Word today because we do believe that there's power in His Word. Does anyone have a handout? Okay. If you don't have a handout, they should be getting one to you. You are going to need those pistols. Though you're not going to have anything to fill in today, you will maybe want to put some notes on the side just in case you have any questions. And you can always stop me if you do. And I want to ask you to do that. If there's a question that you have about the subject matter, please raise your hand. Or if you want to contribute something. That's the beauty of this setup, that it's an opportunity for us to what we call collaborate together. In the book of Hebrews, amen?
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 4. I want you to follow me as I read this. And we're talking about resting and relaxing with God.
Amen.
Resting and relaxing with the Savior. We're trying to understand how we enter into His rest. Because it is our desire to understand how do we deal with the trials and tribulations that we deal with. James says, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith will be patience. But James could not say that unless there was something else connected to that. James couldn't say, how do you count all joy? I mean, how do you count all joy when you're going through trials? I mean, how do you count all joy when you go through trials? That's a paradoxical statement. I mean, how do you count it all joy when you're dealing with issues in your life? Man, that's crazy.
Amen.
But there's something about what James is talking about.
Amen.
How you count it all joy. We're going to talk about how you do that. In the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 4, when you get to say amen. That's in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. The Bible says, read along with me. The Bible says, therefore, while the promises of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them, listen to me, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. Do you want to hear God's voice today? For we who have believed, we've listened, for we who have believed entered that rest.
Amen.
As he has said, I swore on my wrath, therefore shall they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way. And God, and who?
God.
Rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall enter my rest. Verse 6. Since therefore, shall not, thank you. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news fail to enter because of disobedience. Again, he points a certain day. Today, saying through David so long afterwards, and the words, listen to me, and the words already quoted, today if you do what?
Hear his voice.
Do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on.
Yes.
So then, there remains a what?
Sabbath rest.
There remains a what?
Sabbath rest.
For the people of God.
Amen.
Are you God's people?
Amen.
Look at your notes. Are you suffering from strain and stress? Yes. Do you find that you're always tired, not just physically, but also emotionally? You go to sleep tired and you wake up tired. Overworked and underpaid. Has your life gotten to the point where it all is all about work and no rest?
Okay.
I mean, does your life consist of phrases like no rest for the weary?
Mm.
Not enough time in a day? There is an answer in God's word. McDonald's is right about something. You do deserve a what?
Rest.
Somebody in here needs rest.
Amen.
What does it mean to rest in Jesus? When we walk or stand, we bear on our legs all the weight of our own bodies. But when you sit down like you're doing right now, you are resting your, and listen to me, you're resting your entire weight on what?
Jesus.
But on that chair, because you're sitting, right? Many of us are weary when we have to deal with the troubles of life. But when you rest in Jesus, you start to feel rested for just a while. When we wrestle with life on our jobs and our homes, we spend a great deal of energy. But when we trust God and relax in Jesus, the strain no longer falls on you, but on something outside of you.
Okay.
It's like getting on that walking sidewalk.
Mm.
Have you ever walked on that walking sidewalk? You know, like when you're at the airport,
yeah.
And it just moves you, excuse me, the moving sidewalk?
Yeah.
It just moves you?
Yes.
I mean, that's incredible. Because everyone else is walking, trying to get to the terminal. But you just put your foot on that moving sidewalk and you just relax.
Yes.
And you can rest and it moves you to your final destination.
Yes.
Oftentimes, the reason why we have not entered into God's rest, which is a Sabbath rest, is because the Bible says we have hardened hearts.
Mm. All right.
And we're wondering why we're still dealing or how we're dealing with the stresses of life. Because all of us deal with stress.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
But it's how you are handling the stresses that you're dealing with.
Yes.
All of us deal with trials and tribulations.
Yes.
All of us have problems. Isn't that right?
Yes.
None of us are going through life free of any challenges or circumstances.
Okay.
But James says, count it all joy.
That's right.
When you fall into divers temptations. Knowing that the trial of your faith worketh patience.
Amen.
See, your God designed you to rest.
That's
amen.
Right.
God designed you to begin to enter into his rest.
Yes.
God says you got to trust me completely. Isn't that right?
Yes.
And to simply rest your whole weight, all your problems,
yes.
All your challenges, all your future, rest it on me.
Yes.
By doing that, you were saying, Lord, I want you to bear my burdens. I want you to make sure that I'm giving you everything that's creating problems in my life, giving it to you.
Yes.
Matter of fact, the Bible says this was God's principle from Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yes.
In creation, God worked, listen to this, from the first to the sixth day.
Yes.
And rested on the seventh. We can safely say the first 6 days, God was busy.
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
Then on the seventh day, the Bible says God ceased from his work.
Yes.
The The seventh day became the Sabbath of God.
Yes.
It was God's rest.
Yes.
He went on and created Adam on the sixth day. Clearly, listen to this. Adam had no part in the first 6 days of work.
That's right.
I want you to catch that.
Amen.
For when he came into being, it was the end of what God was already doing.
Amen.
Matter of fact, God's seventh day, and I put it in your notes, was in fact Adam's first day. God worked 6 days, and then he enjoyed, listen to me, the Sabbath rest. Adam began his life with the Sabbath. Adam started off with resting in the Lord. That's incredible. That's critical, because what God wants us to do is to enter into his rest. You know, God is, he has rhythm. And he sets it up in his rhythm. And so when God created, he says a one and a two and a three and a four and a five and a six and a rest.
Amen.
A one and a two and a three and a four and a five and a six and a
rest.
A one and a two and a three and a four and a five and a six and a
rest.
God understood that your body would be tired. God understood that you would deal with problems. He is your creator. He is your maker. God understood that you needed rest. So he said, I'll let it go. One and a two and a three and a four and a five and a six. But the problem is, we're not entering into God's rest. And so we're always walking around tired and defeated, discouraged, because we're not entering into God's rest. You are not designed to keep on going the way that you're going. Your body isn't designed. That's why some people just give up, because they're not designed that way. God never set it up that way. Because he understood that Adam's first day, when he created Adam, he understood that was Adam's first day to enter into his rest. So God started off saying that when I create you, if you want this thing to be right, you've got to now enter into my rest.
Amen.
God is saying this. God is saying that I want to help you with those issues that are going on in your life. And why? It's because we live in this world where the devil is constantly after you.
That's right.
Do you think the devil has taken a furlough? Do you think the devil has gone to sleep on you? You think he's on vacation somewhere?
I
don't think so. The Bible says he's a roaring lion.
Yes.
Seeking to whom he may devour.
Yes.
The Bible says it uses this motif, that he's crouching at the door, waiting to jump on you.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
But God says, I got a plan for you.
Amen.
And the problem with America, the problem with the issues that we're dealing with right now, is because we have forgotten to enter into God's rest.
Amen.
Did you know that, and I'm going to put this in, did you know years ago that when this country was set up, and during the biblical times, even prior to that, that every 7 years that your debt would be wiped out?
Amen.
Did you understand that? Well, you guys don't catch that. We're dealing with economic discouragement and depression right now.
Amen.
If they would follow the biblical principle,
all right,
they can stabilize this economy.
Yes.
Okay.
But they're not following God's principle.
Amen.
Okay.
Every 7 years, they would wipe out that person's debt. And you were free to start over again. But we so greedy.
All right.
We will watch people lose their homes.
Yes.
We'll watch people lose their jobs. But the Bible says that during that time, every 7 years, it would make it right.
Yes.
But that's a, and then keep in mind, God says, 6 days shall I labor and do all that work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. He said, you're not entering into my rest.
Amen.
So there's something about a one and a two and a three and a four and a five and a six and a rest.
Yeah.
There's something that God is trying to do there. Mm-hmm. Well, let's understand that in God's word. Mm. The Bible says, for God works before he rests. Well, man must first enter in God's rest, into God's rest, and then work. Well, you guys are missing this thing. This thing is so good. God works and rests, then he rests. When God created man, God said, look, I'm going to set it up. When you were created, you're going to enter into my rest, and then you work. The reason why some of us aren't working is because we have not entered into God's rest.
Amen.
the problem is we're not trusting, entering into God's rest is saying, God, I'm going to trust you for everything. Amen. And then I'm going to watch you open up the doors for me that need to be opened. Amen. You're wondering why you're dealing with those issues, because you're trying to work before you rest.
Amen. All right.
Are you still missing me? Mm-hmm. You're trying to work before you rest. God says, enter into my rest and let me work with you.
Amen.
But the problem is, I've got to handle it. God, let me now handle it, and then I want you to come in after me.
Pastor, yes. How do you fight that? I mean, the inclination, because in the world, the system that we've always been taught and that we observe and that we live and breathe and have our being in is that, you know, you have to work to get where you want to go, to rest. And yet God is saying to do the exact opposite. How is that? How then do we fight the inclination to go against everything that we've seen and been taught? And then also, where does that go from faith to presumption?
That's the issue. It is faith. Faith is saying, that's it. Not being presumptuous. Because if you trust in God and you believe, God has a way of working things out. It may not be the way you want it to be working.
Right. Right.
See, this is the issue. It's like as a parent. You know, our kids may want something, but we know what's best for them.
Amen. Right, right.
See, God looks at the perspective. He looks at your situation in the perspective. He says, I know what's best for you.
That's right.
So you're asking for something, and you really don't know what you're asking for.
True.
Lord, I want a brand new job. But God understands that if you get this job, it can take you from your family.
Right.
Oh, right. So he tells you to hold on for just a minute. I've got something else for you.
Yes.
God, I want that woman. I mean, she is fine. She's the kind of woman that sashays when she walks. That's the one I want. That's what Samson said. I don't want the plain Jane from Zion. And they please me well. That's what he said.
Yes.
And that was his destruction.
Yes, it was.
See, we're asking God for something. But you got to trust God enough to believe that he has your best interest in hand.
Amen.
So let me tell you how I pray. I said, Lord, this is what I desire. I don't have all the pieces of the puzzle as you do. I pray for this, but nevertheless, not my will, but let thy will.
Amen.
And God, even if it hurts, I want you to make it right. Because it's not just immediate, but it's the end.
Amen.
It's not just where I am, but it's where I'm going.
Amen.
And sometimes God will arrest your attention. Sometimes God, and sometimes it's difficult. I remember the first time I had to discipline my children. My son, my oldest son, Brandon, my oldest son, our first son. I mean, I can remember the first time. I mean, it's hard. But I understand that discipline means correction.
Amen.
Right.
And I understood that I'm looking at not just where he is, but where he is going.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I had to understand that. And so I had to make sure that when I do that, I was focused on, Lord, I want to help him to develop into what you would have him to be.
Yes.
Well, that's what God does. God is simply developing you into what he would have you to be.
Amen.
So to answer your question, it's all about believing, trusting God. But even though you ask for this, God has something else. If you're asking him, if it's his will, God has something else for you. And it may not be the way you want it, but I guarantee he's always on time.
Amen. Yes.
So that's the dynamic there. And there is a dynamic. Because that does happen. Some of you all said, Lord, you know, Lord, I've been praying for this particular situation for years, and it hasn't shown up the way. But you know, one of the things that I want to do when I get to glory, Lord, one of the things that I want to do is I want to make sure that when I get there, I ask God, can you please show me just a little bit of what would have happened when I was asking for this? I mean, I want you to think about that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you ask for something, mm-hmm. And then you discover that your ladder is leaning on the wrong building.
All right.
And now you've got a fire on your behind.
Yeah.
Let me illustrate what I'm saying. You say, Lord, I want a promotion on my job. And you're safe. You're cool. You're not, you know. But then you get that promotion on your job, and then you discover there's a lot of compromise. Then you discover you got to deal with people that you never had to deal with. And it changes the whole perspective.
Yes.
So sometimes God, you know, you're praying for that. God allows that. You know, if you're praying for it, but you know, I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes, here it is. The Bible says, here are the patience of the saints.
Yes.
So you got to be patient with this thing. And that takes faith. That takes faith. Very good question. Any other questions as it relates to that? Any other comments? So understand, the Bible tells us that God was the designer of this world. We're still on our handout. He was not alone in this wonderful creative act. The book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God, another member of the Godhead, was an active agent in the creation. John chapter 1, verses 3 and 14. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word.
Yeah.
In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with
God.
And the Word was
God.
In the beginning was the Word.
Yes.
And the Word was
with God.
And the Word was
God.
He was in the beginning with
God.
The Bible says in John chapter 3, all things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made what?
Yes.
And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory.
Yeah.
He created two perfect people with whom he could walk in the cool of the evening. What an honor. Created in the image of their maker. But that's not all. They were created to be rulers over the earth and all that was on it. How could they have been any better? They were perfected, perfect beings.
Amen.
Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. Then God blessed the seventh day. I love this. And we talked about this on last week. Watch this. God blessed the seventh day, and then he sanctified it. Remember we talked about, brothers, you got to learn to sanctify that one?
Yeah, amen.
You remember that?
Yes,
we talked about that. We said that she's set apart.
Yeah.
She's not like any other woman.
That's right.
When it's your woman, when you say, I do, you set her apart immediately.
Amen.
Yeah.
You don't treat her like you treat any other woman. But look what God has done. It's the same language.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sabbath is not like any other day.
That's right.
See, I want you to catch the connection. He sets that day apart from any other day.
That's right.
And the Bible says that he sanctifies it.
Yes, he did.
Oh, come on. That's so good.
That's right.
Amen.
He says, I set it apart. I sanctify it. Because it's something about entering now into my rest that's sanctifying.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I know this is a huge puzzle, but it's going to come again. I want you to catch the connection. Some of us are dealing with issues.
All right.
And we're wondering why the situation is not turning out right.
That's right.
God says, you enter into my rest, you set it apart, listen to the steps, and I sanctify it.
Amen.
You enter into my rest. I set it apart. And it's sanctified.
Yes.
What God wants to do simply, is give you peace.
Amen.
So when I lose my job, I have peace.
Amen.
When I lose my home, I have peace.
Yes.
Knowing that God is working things out in my behalf.
Yes.
Because he set it apart.
Yes.
I've entered into his rest.
Yes.
He set it apart.
Yes.
And now he's saved.
Yes.
Last night we talked about that when God breathes his breath into your nostrils, you become a living soul.
Yes.
Yes.
That now I want you to catch this connection. This is powerful. This is powerful. I don't want it to go over your head. He took dust and dirt.
Yes.
Dirt.
Which was He breathed his breath into that dust and to that dirt.
Yes.
And that dust and dirt became a living soul. He takes this day by which you enter his rest.
Yes.
He sets it apart.
Yes.
He sanctifies it.
Yes.
He breathed his breath into the situation, yes, and now it becomes alive.
Yes.
Amen. Right. Right. Right.
God has a way of turning things that are dead,
yes,
into life.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, I want you to watch his creative power. I don't want you to miss this. That's why I don't want to go over your head. He says that he took this earth that was void.
Yes.
Without any form.
Yes.
And he formed it.
Yes.
And then the Spirit, I want you to see the connection in the Bible. This is very powerful. There's a connection to all of this. Then he moves on the face of the waters.
Yes.
He creates something out of nothing.
Amen.
And it comes alive.
Yes.
You're wondering why some of you are dead in your situation.
Mercy.
Have you entered into his rest? Because by entering into his rest, he will give you a peace that will pass all understanding.
Amen.
I mean, it's not rocket science, but it is deep and profound. There's a peace about you when you enter. Now, understand, this is critical. Understand, this is critical. He set this day apart, which is the seventh day. We're going to keep talking about that. But it's not just setting this day apart. Watch this. If it was just setting the day apart, then those who worship on the seventh day, they would all be at peace.
All right.
Come on.
He does have a day to set apart. But even those who come on the seventh day have to enter,
amen,
into his rest.
Yes. Right. Yes, sir.
See, he uses that terminology. Because you've got to learn to enter into his rest.
That's right.
What does that mean? That means completely, as you're sitting right now, you are placing all of your weight on this chair.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to pull this chair from under you, you would fall. Because now you are placing all of your weight on this chair.
Mm-hmm.
Not some of your weight. God wants you to place all of your faith in him.
Amen.
That's what it means to enter. When you say, Lord, I'm going to trust you for everything. Not just some things.
All right.
That's where the presumption gets in, you know. But when you trust God for everything, that he has your life in his hands. When you understand that and really trust him for everything. Yeah. And can I share something with you? That's not lip action.
Amen.
That's heart action.
That's right.
Yes.
How do you know? Because when trials come, which they will,
yes,
how do you react?
Amen.
If you are all ready to give up, you're not into the rest.
Amen.
Why did the Lord allow this to happen to me? I don't think I'm going to church anymore. And you begin to blame God. Blame God. You're not into his rest. When you enter into God's rest, you say, Lord, I'm going to place all of the weight of the world on you.
Amen.
And watch this. I'm going to keep back and watch you handle my affairs.
That's right. That's right.
So Paul said, it's not what happens to me, but it's what happens in me that allows me to trust in.
Amen.
Because things will happen. Because this world is not your home.
That's right.
And if you are comfortable and nothing is taking place, what the enemy is trying to do is to numb you.
Mm-hmm.
See, God allows things to happen in your life to point you to him. When you think about the issues that you faced in your life, whether God exposed him publicly or whether God exposed him privately. It's because he's trying to save you.
Amen.
So he allows things to take place in your life. And it's tough because it hurts. But do you think when that woman was caught in adultery in God's word, was if she was not pulled out in the street, the Bible says she was caught in the very act. If she was not pulled out in the road, in the street, do you think she would be sitting right where she is at that particular place? Do you think she'd be still in those beds? Mm-hmm. God pulled her out to save her.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And sometimes it's tough. Mm-hmm. And it hurts.
Yes.
But you've got to trust God to believe that he's working things out in your behalf.
Amen.
So we're talking to his rest. And any other comments? I know there's some good comments here. Any other comments about that? Comments. He set it apart. He sanctified. For to sanctify something is to set it aside for a holy use. Why did God make the seventh day a holy day? What does the Bible say?
He made it for himself and for his creatures.
All right. What is Mark? Let's turn to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 2, verse 27 to 20. It's on your paper. I'll put it on your paper. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also what? God gave the sacred time to man so that he could take time to remember that he did not evolve through millions of years.
Amen.
But that God had created him and all the rest of the wonderful world in how many days?
6 days.
In 6 days. This was to be a holy time when man and his maker would renew their pledge of love. Somebody ought to say amen. And devotion to each other. It's like having your anniversary once a week.
Once a week.
Every week, man was to remember that God made the heavens and the earth in 6 days and rested. A one, and a two, and a three, and a four, and a five, and a six, and a rest.
Amen.
This is what God was asking man to do in the fourth commandment. That he wrote with his own finger. Putting this command in the middle of that sacred law of God, he told mankind to remember. Because in 6 days, he had created the earth, the sea, and the fountains of water.
Amen.
Had mankind always kept the Sabbath as a memorial of creation as God asked them to do, there would be no what? Evolutionists, infidel, or skeptic alive today. For they would have been reminded each week of their roots and of the relationship of the Creator. But they forgot. That's why God says, remember.
Amen.
Out of all the Ten Commandments, which is the character of God. That's why I told you before, you have 10 fingers and 10 toes. To remind you of God's 10 commandments. Because you're wonderful and fearfully made. That's right. It reminds you of God's character. It's the character of God. And God says, remember, out of all the commandments, that's the only one he says, remember, because he knew you would forget.
Come on.
Right. Amen.
You get so busy with what you're doing. But God says, you're so busy, you're not entering into my rest.
Yeah.
A one and a two and a three and a four and a five and a six and a rest. He says, enter into my rest. Yeah. Cease from all your works. And that's the beauty of it. Of believing and trusting God. So God said, enter into my rest. And then watch this. It says, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed. They're talking about the Ten Commandments. For 6 days the Lord made heavens and earth, the sea, he blessed it. Had men always remembered, listen, the memorial of God's creation, many problems that we face today, a forgotten God and a meaningless life, an identity crisis would all be solved. Simply because we forgot. It is no longer important. It is not on our agenda. There you go. Not to do that. I mean, it's incredible.
Yes.
God is saying he wants us to move to the next level.
Yeah.
In our relationship with him. And it's simple. It's nothing heavy. It's not complicated. He said, just enter. the door and I'm knocking.
Yeah.
Open up the door, let's enter. Let's walk in together. Let's hang out together. Let's relax and rest with each other.
Yes.
Isn't that incredible?
Amen.
I mean, to be able to relax with the Lord.
That's right.
To enjoy His company. To enter into His rest. To trust Him completely and fully. That does not mean the problems won't come. But it does mean now you can count it all joy.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that God is See, look. What do I mean? Here it is. When you enter into God's rest, you've accepted Him as your personal Savior. God is working your battles out for you. Then you have to understand you don't have to worry about fighting. God will fight those battles for you.
That's right.
So while I'm kicking back and sipping lemonade, I'm trusting Him. I'm entering into His rest. Yes?
Is it safe to say that you use the term rest simply means just have faith and trust God?
Just have faith and trust God. Believe in everything that He does. Let me tell you real quick. What made this thing so powerful? If you look at the life of the disciples, you'll discover that even in the life of the disciples, that they were walking with Jesus, and some of them did not enter into His rest after His resurrection.
Amen.
Do you know that all the disciples ran except for John? I don't know if you know that.
Mm-hmm.
When they took Christ for Him to be crucified, all of them got out. All of them got out of there.
That's right.
Every last one of them, except for John.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know that he was the youngest? I'm talking about faith now and believing. And do you know John is the only disciple who died of natural death, of old age?
Mm-hmm.
Every last one of them were martyred.
That's true.
He was the only one. And he's the only one who didn't run.
That's right.
He was the only one that was at the cross of Christ.
Yes.
You see how incredible that was. Let me tell you what it was. Is John had crazy faith.
Yes.
He was the youngest disciple, and he just simply believed everything that God said.
Yes, he did.
Well, you know, some of them said, Lord, John, are you sure? Are you buying in on 3 days, man? Or, we love you, Lord, but are you sure? Peter said, I'm not going to ever deny you, God. Because what happens is, man, we try to, how does this, what do you mean? How can this be? You know, you're telling me that if I enter into your rest, that you're going to restore me, I'm going to be restored, and I'm going to have a peace that passes all understanding. You're telling me simply because I keep your Sabbath and empty yes. I'm talking about truly Sabbath keepers.
That's right.
I'm not talking about those who just show up
Uh-oh.
On Saturdays.
Come on.
Uh-oh.
Because that means I'm believing Him not just on Saturdays, but every day of the week.
Yes. Yes.
Because now I have entered into His rest.
Yes.
I'm trusting Him. I'm believing Him
mm-hmm.
in Him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching Him handle my affairs. It may not come out the way I want to, but He's always on time.
Yes. Always on time. Yes, He is.
There's never been a time that God will fail you.
Right.
You may think He's failed you,
mm-hmm.
but He has not failed you. And so we have to understand that what God wants to do for us, He wants to partner with us. He wants to collaborate with us. God wants to spend time with us through His word. He wants us to truly have an opportunity to get to know Him.
Amen.
So He says, why don't you join me? Simply God saying, here it is. You want to ask the question? Thank you for asking, though it wasn't asked verbally what you were thinking. You can't work your way to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Yeah. That's the temptation. You want to work, man. If I just do this. No. You enter into His rest and then you let Him take control.
Amen.
So now it's not you doing it, but it's the God in you
yes, sir.
That's doing it. Mm. It's what we call righteousness by faith.
Yes.
That's what it is. That's saying that no longer do I wear this jacket, but I take this jacket off, and then God puts His jacket over me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now I'm walking in His grace.
Yes.
Amen.
Okay? Righteousness by faith.
Yes.
That it's not by what I do. Some of us want to work off of it, you know? If you have so many Hail Marys, you know how it is. So much prayer. You know, you go to your confessional, you know, you come to the church and you sit down and you have done this and I've kept this and I'm a vegetarian and I do this. No, so seriously, I eat meat if I don't eat meat, whatever it may be. We want to work our way. Now, you may be a vegetarian because you want to eat right and live right and live long, but it has no salvific connotation to it.
Amen.
Because vegetarians are going to go to hell.
True.
Meat is going to go to hell.
True.
See, it's a relationship to God.
Amen.
And enter into His and believe it. And then he moves all the rest of the stuff off of you. Some of us want to come to God and be perfect. See, that's why we don't come to God. Well, you know, I have to be perfect before I go to God. I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got this in order. And God says, no, you come.
Amen.
And then I'm the one
yes, sir.
That takes care of everything.
Yes, sir.
But you got to come. You got to enter into His rest.
Yes,
and then you watch Him take the stuff off you, whatever it may be. If God wants you to be a vegetarian, He'll do that for you. Because some of us need to be vegetarian.
True.
No, you need to understand that. Some of us need to be. Because if you're not, and some of us, some see, you have to understand, God is working with you.
Amen.
God's trying to save you.
Amen.
That's what He's doing. And you've got to learn to be accepting of God's word and God's will for your life.
That's right.
Yes.
In Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12, he says, moreover, yes. I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them.
Right.
That ties back to what you've been saying.
That's right. That's on page 7. If you guys can look at it. It's right there on page 7. You can turn over. That's a great point. He says that. Okay. That's incredible. Because he says, I give you this sign.
Yes.
Okay. What he's saying is that in the history of that, is that back in that day, they were coming after Christians, okay? They were trying to destroy Christians. And so the Christians would also create a sign as well. Do you remember what the sign was? Anybody have seen it? The little fish? Remember that? Have you guys seen it on the back of people's cars?
Yeah.
That was a symbol to them to recognize each other. Because, you know, they wanted to make sure that they were not going to be, you know,
compromised.
So they created that sign. What God does, God wants to have an identifying, God has an identifying mark. And what he wants to do, he said, these are the ones that I know that are following. Because see, what happens is on the opposite side, we're going to talk about it coming up here, is on the opposite side of it, is that the enemy also wants to create a situation where you can worship him as well. See, it's very complicated here. See, there's a battle going on.
Yeah.
It's what some of us know it to be is what they call the great controversy.
Yeah.
It's a battle going on between God and Satan.
Yes.
Now, I want you to know that God has already won.
Yes.
So we don't have to wonder what's going to take place. God has already won. He's already defeated the devil. But in the process, what the devil is trying to do, and I shared with you last night, he's a great deceiver.
Yes.
And he always lies. See, you can never believe the devil. He will take a little bit of truth.
All right.
And he'll make just enough for you to believe it. And then he takes control. Mm-hmm. You remember what he told Eve when she came by the tree? Just enough information.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I told you last night, it wasn't unusual for them to talk to the animals. But it was the content of the conversation that was critical. That's why you can't talk to everybody.
All right.
Because there are some people who are going to lead you astray.
Yes.
So you got to always remember the content of what that person is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You got to measure the content of the conversation.
Yes.
Okay? And so the devil sets things up so he can try to destroy. So the devil has already said, because what he does, see, this whole battle, folks, is about worship.
Yes.
Amen. The devil wants you to worship him.
Yes.
He wants you to he wants to be your God.
Yes.
And so for every truth, there's a counterfeit.
Yes, that's it.
Faith. Presumption. That's what he was talking about.
Yes.
So you're not led by God. But you're trying to be prideful. God knows your heart. And you know, so you prove something. So you know, I'm going to walk in front of those people shooting a gun, and God's going to protect me. That's perception. But if you're in a situation and you're fighting for the Lord and you trust in Him, they pull out the gun, it may not work. You got to understand, God works things out in our behalf.
Yes, He does.
So but what the devil wants is he wants us to be presumptuous.
Yeah.
Okay? And so for every truth, there's a counterfeit.
Yeah.
For love is lust. So when I say oftentimes, when someone says, I love you, most of the time they mean I lust you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because the enemy wants to turn this thing around. It is his desire to destroy you. Because guess what? You are God's creation. And he understands you're the, watch this, in the image of God. He wants to destroy the very image.
That's it.
And so he wants to create, he understands that. That's why he says, you know what? I'm going to create this other counterfeit situation. Because I don't want them to enter into his rest. Because he knows that when you enter into God's rest, you have a peace that passes all understanding.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
When you're all tight, you know, man, such and such and such did this and such and such, and you're mad and angry, and the devil is laughing.
That's right.
He's taking up residence in your life now.
Yeah.
You know, because what he's trying to do is break you down.
Yeah.
That's why I told you a couple of weeks ago that you've got to learn to not listen to yourself, but you have to learn to speak to yourself.
That's right.
Because if you listen to yourself, you also, oh, you know, I really can't do this. I'm really not that good. You know, I'm not, you know. And so what happens is, you got to learn to say, no, I can do this through the power of God.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, the Lord's going to bless me with a brand new job.
Yeah.
The Lord's going to bless me with this great husband, great wife. God's going to bless my marriage.
Yeah.
But if you begin to enter into this thing from a negative perspective, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah.
Because what God is saying, God is saying, if you trust me, I'll work things out.
Yes.
And sometimes him working out is letting some things go.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're holding on too tight to things that God says, let go of.
Yes.
He hurt me 10 years ago. Let it go.
Yes.
Let it go.
Yes.
Do you know what she did to me 2 years ago? Let me tell you what happens. That situation or that person will be healed.
All right.
And you'll still be walking around with damaged goods.
Yeah.
Mad, hard to get along with. And every time you see that person, your temperature rises. Your blood pressure, you know, you're not even grit your teeth. Now tell me, who you hurt? You hurt yourself. That person's chilling, you know. Hey, man, what's up? They going on? They thinking about you? You thinking about that person? I'm gonna get that. And it's eating you alive.
Yes,
and so you're running around unhappy, unsatisfied, unfulfilled, stressed. But God is saying, look, if you enter, I'm gonna fill you.
Okay.
I'm gonna make look. There's some people you've got to forgive them.
Yes.
You have to let it go.
Yes.
I mean, and really let it go. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to keep what I want. God didn't save you. The Bible says a fool puts his trust in man.
Right.
No, really.
Yeah.
That's right.
That means God is making you be stupid.
Right.
If he hurts you, don't go back and let him hurt you again.
Okay. That's right.
You got to take that. That's real. But what God expects you to do is to forgive that person and move on.
Amen.
Yes.
And yes, there's some people you can't hang out with.
That's right.
Because if they hurt you so bad and it bothers you, you got to forgive them.
That's it.
You got to forgive them. But you have to move on.
Amen.
Because God's got something great. So we're talking entering into his rest. And I love there's a sign between. And I love that sign because that means it's what we call a golden handshake. Isn't that right? God says, I'm shaking your hand. This is what I've done for you.
Amen.
I'm your creator. And I want you to get you to my rest. In the book of, we talked about Ezekiel. Thank you for bringing that up, Pastor Jeremy. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 22 and 23. And it should come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, he said we're going to be spending time together, hanging out together. In the book of Luke chapter 14, verse 16, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as it was his custom, watch this, I'm talking about Jesus now, he went to the synagogue on what day?
Saturday.
Because God understood that he needed to be rested. He understood what was before him. And so it was his custom, the Bible says, to be hanging out in the sanctuary on the Sabbath. He wanted to spend time being renewed and restored, and that's what the Sabbath does. Luke chapter 23, verse 54 through 56. I wrote all these down. This is my sermonic notes, so you'll be able to keep this forever. It says, and that day was a preparation day, the Sabbath. I want to go somewhere with that. In the book of Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing spices which they had prepared. Let's take another look at the events of those three memorial days. Check this out. Check this out. Friday was what?
Preparation day.
Jesus died. The woman prepared spices and ointments. This is in the Bible now. Saturday was what?
Saturday.
Jesus rested from his tomb and his followers. Number three, Sunday was what?
Preparation.
So people will say all the time, well, you know, I go to church because I worship on Sunday, you know, because that is in honor of his resurrection, right? Bible clearly says that he did what on the seventh day?
Rested.
He rested on the seventh day, which was the what?
Sabbath.
And early Sunday morning, he did what? Okay, you'll find no passage in the scripture where it says that God was entered to his rest on the first day. You won't find that. It's not in the scripture.
It's not there.
It's not there.
So why are people confused?
Well, what happens is, good job, thank you. What happens is, it's a custom. People get caught up in what we call tradition.
Yes.
And traditionally, when there was challenges taking place, the enemy and others, because the enemy uses others, they wanted to create a different day of worship because it just wasn't convenient. Just wasn't convenient.
It wasn't
convenient to worship on Saturday for some people.
Well,
yes,
the
go ahead.
Thing
go ahead.
Is, whenever there's a war, Pastor said that earlier, that there's a war. And I was just watching something on the History Channel the other day. During World War II, when the Allies and the Axis were fighting, you'd be surprised at the amount of energy that they put in. The OSS, which was the forerunner of the CIA, that they put in giving each other misinformation. The Allies even found a body and departed it off the coast of Italy so that the Germans would get it and think it was a spy and had information on it, and that's how it made Hitler think that the Allies were going to land someplace else instead of when they landed in Sicily to start to push towards Germany. And it's the same thing in spiritual warfare. So a lot of it is misinformation. It's what the devil gave Eve when she was at the tree. So much truth and that little critical part that throws it off. So when it comes down to the Sabbath versus Sunday, a lot of it is misinformation. Some of it, Sunday was really always a pagan holiday. And in the occult, Sunday is a holy day. Yes. And they do everything in the occult, opposite of the church. Mm-hmm. But yet, if you, in San Francisco, and looked up Tim LaHaye's Temple of Satan, Sunday is their holy day. That's their day of worship. Because it was the day of the sun. But in the time of Constantine, a lot of the pagan holidays came in and they dressed it up with the veneer of the Christian faith, which is why you have Easter eggs on Easter. That's about harvest and springtime and all that other stuff. That's good. That's a pagan holiday.
Right, right. And the Catholic Church itself, the Pope clearly says that he was the authority to change it from Saturday to Sunday.
Right.
He has authority. Historically, that's history. Yeah. Historically. But
with
doesn't take place in the Bible.
Right. And with that being said, understand that there's many great and faithful Christians that didn't know any better and have worshipped on Sunday and have been right with God according to the light that they had. Right. But God said, as he told Paul told when he was on Mars Hill, he said, in the time of your ignorance, God winked at it. In other words, when you didn't know any better, God understood your heart.
Right.
But now that you know, God now holds you accountable.
Amen.
And it's entered into his rest. It's saying, Lord, you know, what I want to do for you is what you've done for me.
Yes.
You've created me, and I want to make sure that I'm going out and sharing your good news, that I'm entered into your rest with the same kind of love that he's given. So, you know, it's all about saying, Lord, because keep in mind, this is all within the war that he's talking about. It's all about the battle.
Yeah.
This whole thing is a battle. I'm going to come to you, right? The whole thing is a battle. And the devil wants your allegiance, and so does God. Yes?
I was just thinking, military strategy. We call it propaganda. Brainwashing. I don't have to do a thing to you. Just get you thinking the way I want you to think.
Right.
And then you will do everything I want you to do. Without laying a hand on you. That's why God's word says, guard the avenues of approach to your mind, to your soul. Because the things that, a lot of things as parents today, we allow our kids to hear, Christian parents, we allow our kids to hear, we allow our kids to do, places we allow them to go. Oh, it's okay, they say, guard the avenues of approach. This whole process of brainwashing is effective, very effective. We've used it in warfare. We use it, in fact, that's why the Marine Corps can say, give me your son and give you back a man. And they do it. They brainwash you. They get you thinking. They get you thinking you're Superman. And you don't have no blue suit and cape. But, again, brainwashing. They get you thinking a certain way. They program you. This is what the adversary has done. He is the greatest statistician this world has ever seen, except for Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen. Yes.
You know, for years I was a Sunday keeper, but, you know, the Bible tells you to read the Bible concept on concept, line upon line. Yes. And as I began to read, and I really put my mind and gave my life to being dedicated to the walk of God and His faith. And I began to read, and I, like you said in your scriptures here, when they were preparing the body, and I began to read that, and they said, a Sabbath day away. And God had started to prepare me to become an Adventist before I really realized it and to serve the Sabbath. And so when I read that thing, and they said, a Sabbath day away, so I said, Thursday, Friday, I said, well, that's Saturday. I said, so Thursday, Friday, I said, so Saturday is the day. And if you read the Sunday law, it tells you how the changing of Sunday come about for world worship. But as the Sabbath keepers know the truth, when we come into the knowledge of it, and Saturday is the appropriate day, if you read the Bible and you read it with understanding.
Amen. That is true. And you know, I tell you, it is what God wants to do is to reveal Himself through His Word.
That's Amen. Right.
And oftentimes we want the preacher to tell us what to do. You get comfortable. So, you know, or you want mama or your daddy to say, well, you know, this is what we've done traditionally. But biblically, when you follow God's Word, you study it for yourself. Then you discover that Saturday is the seventh day of the Lord thy God.
That's
Think about that. It says, of the Lord thy God.
That's right.
And watch this. I'm going to come to you. And I want you to catch this. The Bible in itself, in and of itself, is what we call is thought inspired.
Yes.
Okay? It's not word inspired.
Amen.
It's thought inspired. So the Holy Spirit of God fell upon as these men were writing God's word. So He moved them to write certain things. That's why in the book of John, and I'm going somewhere, in the book of John, that's why when you read John in Revelations, there are things that we're trying to figure out that John has seen, but John doesn't have the language. He's never seen them before. So he may see a nuclear warhead shoot through the sky. And he says, well, it's a dragon. It's got a long tail. Because he's never, God is not saying,
this is what it is.
God is revealing it to him.
Yes.
And so John is now writing what he's seen.
Yes.
See, Bible is thought is Bible. Watch this. I want you to catch this. Out of the whole Bible, the only thing that was written with the finger of God is the Ten Commandments.
Amen.
Yes.
That was directly from God.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
So everything else was moved as man, it was moved by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because God did not want to take a chance with us not understanding His character.
Yes,
so He wrote down, now I know they broke rewrite them, but we trust that Moses wrote it the right way. We understand that. He got upset, he threw it down and broke them, you know, and the Bible says he had to rewrite. But that was the only thing
yes.
in the whole entire Bible written with the finger of God.
Yes.
Okay? So that's right. He put it in stone. So God understood that we needed to understand his character.
Yes.
Because he's trying to change us in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And so what God wants for us to do is to enter into his rest. I saw there was a comment. Somebody else had a question, comment. I saw somebody's hand kind of. Yes.
I will say this. When you said by the Spirit of God and the man of a biblical time was led by the Spirit of God, the Bible also states, and if we do that, we will not be lost. It's a tried spirit, by the Spirit, and receive it if it be of God.
Amen.
And
Amen.
When you are tapped into the spirit realm of God, and you really have discernment, knowing right it's God, you will know.
Amen. Amen. Got a few, we got about 10 minutes, and then we're going to be through for today.
I think one of the biggest challenges that God has, and Jesus stated the Godhead's frustration with them when he said, in vain they worship me, teaching the doctrines of men instead of the commandments of God, tradition.
Yeah.
And it's not just, and I think even we as those of us that are Sabbath keepers, we have our own traditions too that aren't necessarily always biblical. And I think what God really wants to engage us is in a dialogue, and as you said right there, critical thinking. So many of us are so comfortable with the pastor said, or this is what my mom said, or
yeah.
And we even use stuff in our day-to-day Christian conversations sometimes. It's not even in the Bible. And people go, well, you know, God helps those that helps themselves. Where's that in the
I'll
Bible?
I'll be holding, I'll become changed. That's not in the Bible.
Right. And, you know, and so and God wants us to engage and, you know, really think about and study for ourselves.
That's true. And so you've got to read the Word.
Read it.
Read the Bible. Begin to scroll through it. Because you're developing that relationship with God. But what God is trying to do for you simply is this. God is trying to move you to that next level.
Yes.
He wants you to learn to spend time with Him.
Yes.
Okay? And He's doing it through His Word. And He's saying that I want to get to know you by entering into each other as in a partnership. Let's move on down. We're going to be through for today. Then I want to encourage you to come back on tonight at 5:30 with God's Traveling Circus. I know Pastor Drummond is going to share a little bit about that before we leave tonight. But God has been blessing us in a powerful and awesome way. Then I want to remind you to come back again on Sunday night at 7 o'clock with On Time Band. Come on, man.
Yeah.
I tell you, man, On Time, On Time. With On Time Band. I want to make sure that you come back. We've got another great a wonderful presentation to share with you. If you look in the book of Acts chapter 17, verses 1 and 2, they came to Thessalonica where was the synagogue of the Jews. And listen to what it says. And Paul, as his manner was, went to them on three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the Scripture. So it's historical that even the disciples and those who were hanging out with Jesus honored the Sabbath. Kept the Sabbath, spend time with God. In the book of Acts chapter 13, verses 42 through 44, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them on the next Sabbath. It never says the first day of the week. Okay? So when you understand that, well, you know, it's comfortable for me to worship on Sunday. It doesn't matter what day you worship on. Well, God says this day, the seventh day, was sanctified and set apart.
That's right.
Okay, I want you to catch that. When you say that there's no difference, I worship God every day of the week. Yeah, we all do. But he did take the seventh day and he set it apart. I mean, it's not what Richardson says.
That's right.
I didn't say that.
That's right.
So the Bible says you read it yourselves.
That's right.
And that's why I gave you my handout. You can go home and read it. You can take it to your priest. They can do whatever. It's in the Bible.
Yes. That's
it. If this is the Bible ever read, the Bible saying, I'm not making this up.
No.
Because what God wants to do for you is to move you to the next level. The enemy wants to keep you at the same level. The enemy wants to destroy you. So it gives you all this falsified or misinformation. So you can't follow the Lord fully. Yeah, he may wink at it because you didn't know. Okay. Praise God by his grace.
Amen.
But as you begin to study God's word, I'm going to challenge you this morning. Don't take me at work. Go home. Open up your Bible. and read it at yourself.
Amen.
Look up all, and we, what I love about it, we have computers now. You can go on the internet. I want to put in all the texts that talk about the Sabbath. Put it in all the Bible texts, and then say, put in all, then put in your, on your keyboard, all the texts that talk about the first day. And then compare them. It's not what Richardson says. This is not Richardson's revised version.
And that's what a commentary, a lot of times two people rely on commentaries. Right. All a commentary is someone's opinion.
Right.
I think though, but if you did what you just said,
yeah.
go to the computer online and say, look up all the text, that's the
compare
word
yourself. Yeah, if you go to a commentary, that's going to be somebody else. It's like me telling you. Now I'm telling you, I'm opening up the dialogue. But hopefully you're not going to say, that's the it. Hope you're not going to say, well, I believe what Richardson says, and I'm committed. Check me. I had no problem with checking me. Coming back with me, and I said, what about this? What about that? Well, we're going to go through God's word with that.
Right.
See, the enemy wants to keep you. They used to say years ago, if you ever want to hide something from a black person, do what?
Put it in a book.
Put it in a book. Yes. And I'm coming to this. Yes.
Pastor Richardson, even from a historical background, mm-hmm. just historically, you can look up when the day of worship was changed.
Amen.
It's not from a religious standpoint.
That's right.
No. If you were an atheist right. studying history and you wanted this information,
yep.
you could find this information on the computer.
That's right.
That how the day of worship was changed.
That's right.
Yeah.
We live in a society right now, technology and the technology that's out there, they can't hide anything from you anymore.
No.
They can tell you something. You can look it up. You can Google it right here.
Yeah.
It's right there.
That's it.
Yes.
I was going to say the same thing Wanda said.
Yep. I mean, there's no secret. And some people make excuses. They say, well, you know, it was changed from the Saturday, seventh day to the first day, but it's not in the Bible. So this is an additional document. So I can come up with an additional document, but when we are making our commitment to the Lord, we're going by the Bible.
That's it.
Am I right? Isn't that the rule of faith for all of us? That is the rule of faith. Okay? So as we're going by just the Bible, what we call solo scriptura. Does anybody know what that means? That means the Bible and the Bible only. That's what we believe. Solo scriptura. It's the Bible and the Bible. Now, if you're going to add other documents to ask, well, this was changed here. That's other documents. The Bible, nowhere in the Bible will you find the first day of the week is the day of which God has sanctified it and set it apart.
That's right.
It's not there. And see, the enemy is banking on the fact that you're going to listen to someone else and begin to follow because it's popular. And no one wants to be with the unpopular crowd. Okay? So you gotta study God's word. You gotta read God's word. Boy, God is looking for those who are set apart. Those that he puts his hand on and sanctifies. The Bible says, and I'm closing, the Bible says, if you love me, you'll do what?
He
said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In the commandments, all 10 commandments, God says the first four, the first six commandments talk about what?
First
four talk about what?
God, I love God.
And then
God.
The last six talk about what? All right. So you understand that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love God, God says, if you love me, you're going to do your very best to serve me.
Amen.
And then to serve your fellow man. Jesus says, remember, because he knew that you would forget. He says, follow me, like you said. His hand stretched out, nailed to the cross. He says, follow me. He says, say yes to me today. That's what I want you to do. I want you to say, Pastor, I want to follow the Lord. I want to take some time to study this on my own. We have Bible counselors that are here that are willing to study with you, answer any questions. I'm here to answer any questions. The elders and the pastors are here to answer any questions you may have because we want you to spend time studying God's word.
Amen.
But I want to bring Pastor Joe, but I want to thank you all. What a wonderful day that we've had and understanding about entering into God's rest. If you want to enter into God's rest, I just want you to join me in a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we're so thankful that you have set apart a day. A day, oh God, that we are reminded of a sign between you and me. A commitment, a and understanding that we have to worship the true and living God. Lord, I pray that on this day, if I've never done this before, on this day, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice will be willing to enter into your rest. I pray, oh God, that we will not harden our hearts, but that we will trust you by faith. Watch you handle our affairs. Thank you, oh God, for being so awesome.